It's episode 4 of No Dad Available, the Save Game Podcast. I'm here. I'm Jen, and Tash is here, and Joe is also here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much.
Not much.
Well, we're here today to talk about our PILFs of the year and what that stands for. The P is basically pixels. So before any of you, you know, start doing a whole lot of little judgmental comments and making fun of us for that, we do realize that these people are not real and would probably never sleep with us anyway. So, so stow it. This is just for fun.
Yes. Because we wanted to do something different.
Because let's face it, pixels can be really hot.
They can.
They can. And we have lists that we're going to talk about.
We do.
Which is such a weird thing to talk about. This is such a, like... See, I feel like a lot of people feel the same way that we all feel about fictional characters and animated characters and video game people. But not a whole lot of people talk about it. Unless you're on, like, Tumblr or Twitter.
Mm.
Or you're doing, like, a role play on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about either. Yeah, so Tash, you wanna tell what are we doing here?
We won't say we're counting down our list, but we have a list of PILFs of the year for 2012. I suppose we should really start with what is it that makes somebody such a good character and so attractive and so sexy that they actually make it to the PILF list.
Mm.
I mean, what are we looking for? Because it's got to be, and it is, it's more than just being really, really damn attractive.
Very true. Joe, what do you look for?
Well, for me, it's just being attractive. I mean, I don't know what Cash is talking about, but, you know, it's just...
It's like, God, you're so pretty.
Are those pixels arranged in a way that, you know, that I find attractive? That's really all I need.
That's
but
true.
No.
But it
it's definitely, for me, it's like, it's all about the story, like the writing and the voice acting. Like, if it's just, you know, like a computer generated, you know, image, I really don't see, you mm-hmm. know, much in there. It's, if I can care about the person, then it's like, then like if I get my emotions involved, then suddenly like, I start thinking about other things, and you know, before this sounds too creepy, I'm just going to stop talking right now. But you know, basically, I fall in love with them. All right, you want me to say that? Fine, I love
them.
You can
say it. I've done it. I love. Yeah. I love some characters, and my husband makes fun of me all the time, but he totally understands my relationship with my space boyfriend John Shepard, and like he understands that we have like a relationship.
It's a very lovely relationship.
I mean, by understands, I mean he, like, rolls his eyes and shakes his head, but but he gets it.
He's a very understanding man.
Yeah, for me, it's very similar to what Joe said. It has a lot to do with the story and the characters in total, and just, like, if they're just some one-dimensional thing that looks pretty, it's hard to get behind that and be like, all right, well, I mean, aside from being pretty, which sometimes really is all you need, but, you know, generally, for the most part, I like a little character development. I tend to fall in love with the voice actors as well, which is so not at all creepy at all.
Yeah, and following them on Twitter and, you know, like that's not creepy either.
No.
It's perfectly normal to, you know, fantasize about, you know, just running into them in a bar or, you know, a coffee shop and, you know, just striking up a conversation and...
And
you know, see
totally
where it goes from there.
Striking up a conversation and not at all mentioning what a huge...
They're on your PILF list.
Yeah. In fact, I think people should open with that. You know, because of your voice, I want to have sex with that cartoon, basically, is what it amounts to. They would back away.
But yes, no, I agree as well. Like, these characters need to have something more than just being either good-looking or funny or smart. It all has to combine together. And that it has to be something that, you know, you remember them after you've finished playing the game, or that they're interesting enough that they continue to be interesting post-playing the game.
Yes. And so, how are we doing the lists here? Tosh, you said you have two lists, right?
You've got men and women.
You've got men and women. I have men and women on my list, my one list.
Yes. Well, we should go. Let's go through it and we'll see how many people we've got.
Okay.
Because I think we're gonna have some double ups anyway.
Yeah. Well, I have five, and then I have like a second tier. Like I have my.
What the add-ins, the reserves?
I have my like, yeah, I would list.
But they're not just definites. They're like, yeah.
Right. Well, okay. They can be pretty definite. But they're also, some of them are not. See, I didn't have a whole lot in 2012.
Mm.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, it's hard to limit it like that, I think, because it's like every character that came out in 2012.
But, so shall we alternate it? Shall we go male, female?
Yeah, sure. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Okay, I shall start. Well, let's get number one out of the way first, because I'm pretty sure we're both going to pick this gen.
Yeah.
And Bratz was being honest, he's probably going to pick this gentleman too, because let's face it, when Commander Shepard, and we're talking about Commander John Shepard, is on screen in Mass Effect 3, there is this, the panties drop. I mean, it just happens.
It's true. Amazing. Like, I'll just, like, it sucks. I'm a hard part in the game, and suddenly my panties are on the floor. It's terrible.
My panties dropped, and I wasn't even wearing panties.
That is amazing. That is the power of Sheplu, and everybody calls him Sheplu. Now, lots of people like their custom Commander Shepherds, which is fine, and I've seen some really great-looking ones, but every time I try to make one, he kind of looks like a ball of dough with hair. And that's how I originally started playing it. It wasn't that I actually thought he was so ridiculously attractive or anything, because I didn't care. I started playing the game, and I was like, well, I don't know, he's all right. And so I chose him. And then throughout the course of the game, I was like, oh no, I love you.
Yes. Oh my. Oh my.
This is upsetting. But yeah, and to be honest, I don't even think his face model is Mark Vanderloo. I mean, he's certainly an attractive man, but he's not as attractive as Commander Shepard.
Hmm. Because Commander Shepard is a manly man who goes out and does things, and he's just, you know, he walks into a room and everybody takes note because he's there.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm getting a little message saying there's a problem with this call.
No, I can hear you.
Oh, it could be that we lost Rats.
Ah, did we? Rats? Jeez, just because you didn't want to hear about all the men.
Yeah, what are you doing disconnecting when we're trying to talk about hot man sex? What?
I didn't. I'm trying to figure out, like, what... I don't have anything else on my computer. I don't know what could be causing it to... And I'm even on, like, the Ethernet thing instead of the Wi-Fi.
Ah.
Yeah. See, that's the power of John Shepard. He can make connections disconnect with his hotness.
It's true. And plus, it depends on how you play him as well. Like, you could make him, like, this angelic choir boy kind of boy scout.
Yeah, boy scout.
Or you could make him kind of a rough badass, which I tend to do. He's a good dude. He's even a nice dude most of the time. But he just doesn't have time for your shit. And apparently that's what I find attractive in a man.
That's on your list. Doesn't have time for your shit.
Doesn't have time for any bullshit.
So yes, he would definitely have to be on both of our lists.
Yeah, I think he's number one on both of our lists, which is...
Yeah, pretty much.
Joe?
This is why Jen and I get along so well.
Well, yeah, how could he not be number one? I mean, yeah, come on.
Who's number one on your list, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, I mean, keeping in the Mass Effect theme. I would have to go with one Liara Tassoni, I think, is her name.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Yeah, I mean, she was just... She's on a whole other level compared to any of my other pilfs, because you know you the amount of time that you spend with her over three games you can't help but form a bond with this person because you spend so much time with her.
And she's so cute.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, the
big blue eyes.
Yeah, she's just. I just, I love the fact that she has so many contradictions. Like, she's incredibly, naive when you meet her. And, she's this, isolated kind of bookworm, scientist kind of person. And you have to, rescue her. Yeah, you find out that she's 106 years old, so she's way older than Shepard,
Nice.
and she's a genius, and she's a biotic. She can make things fly around the room, and
you're like, wow, you're not quite as shy and innocent and helpless as you initially seemed to be.
Yeah. And by the end of the first game, she's filling the room with pink mist and laser beams and. Making her eyes go black, and I was smitten. What can I say?
Nice.
She's just.
She's cute, but she's got little head dealies, which are.
Yep.
Head dealies are the actual technical term for them. I did some research.
Are they really? I'd have thought that was just something that everybody was saying, but do they?
No, I'm talking out of my butt, but head dealies, head dealies are what I like to call them. I think
because they don't have a name. There's in all of the Mass Effect lore. It's not like that shit's in the Codex.
Yeah. There is one little conversation in Mass Effect 3 where you catch, you go into her little office there and you catch Joker talking with her about them. I think she calls them dermal folds or something like that, because Joker's asking all these fan servicey questions.
Oh, man.
Does she have to wash them and stuff like that? But not
dermal
that I've thought of
folds.
No, head dealies.
The least attractive name. That just sounds like skin folds.
Head dealies, much better.
Sound like a person who is just a sack of skin that folds in on itself. Yeah, no, there's head dealies. It's way cute.
And it's not like I've spent any time thinking about what they might feel like or anything. I haven't
Where the erogenous zones would be on them.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that at all.
The tips, obviously.
The one thing that she doesn't like having the tips flicked. You can't walk up behind her and go, flick, like that.
No, I think that would be kind of rude. That'd be flicking someone in the ear.
Yeah, that would just mess her up.
They would have. They don't have ears, so.
Sticking things in between them, pencils or something like that. I don't know, if like that. But
here, hold this.
Yeah. I'm not fascinated by them at all. I just
Right.
No. Yeah. But we should preface this discussion by saying that we're talking about the Liara in game. We're not talking about that horrible, Basuju, whatever it was called, statue.
The one with the giant baby head. And tits. Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. We're not talking about that.
It was weird pedophile-like. Yeah. I get the style, but I've never understood the style of... I've never found that hot anyway. The anime-type things with the childlike faces. I think it's gross. I'll just come out and say it.
I have spent... good money on statues. I have a bunch of statues in my apartment. I would have gladly spent a couple $100 on a really nice Liara statue, and I was waiting years for them to make one, and they come out with that freak show. I'm still in awe of that thing. It's just especially considering that they made an Ashley figure and a Tally figure and a Shepard figure, and then they're not.
And those are pretty good.
Yeah, they're.
And then there was
good.
The weird little Liara one. Okay, but we should move on to a next person that I'm probably, again, pretty sure that Tash and I share.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of course, talking about Geralt of Rivia.
Yes. Gary.
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 Our buddy Gary.
That's what we affectionately call him. He's just fantastic, and he's so fantastic that during the marketing hype of The Witcher 2 on Save Game, we just had one picture that we ran with every single article with The Witcher 2 news, which was shirtless Geralt.
I even tried to do a news article without that picture, and yet somehow on the page, the thumbnail was that completely different picture, the one with him shirtless. Like, it had nothing to do with the picture that I put in there. Through some your sorcery, or something,
I feel accomplished because in search terms now, people get to Save Game by using the search term shirtless Geralt. So I feel like I've contributed something to the video game community just by that.
And it's not even that he has like an attractive torso. It's all mutilated and like it's awful. Terrible. He's such an ugly dude. Like he's not even. Yeah. He's totally just like if you were just gonna look at that guy and you'd be like, whoa. And everybody in the game calls him ugly too.
They do.
Like, hello, ugly. He's like, ugly.
It's that voice though, you know? It's like I won't even try to imitate it, but it's just
it's the voice it's like and it's velvet. Also he's I don't know, he's a monster slayer. I think that's kinda cool. And again, it depends on how you play him. Like he was a nice guy. Like he didn't just kill things for the thing of it. I'm very sad in Witcher 2 that I couldn't import my game from 1 because I played it on the Xbox rather than the PC.
PC.
So.
But, yes.
So there were people that weren't in the game that died because even though I saved them, because I thought that was the right thing to do, but in the second game it was like, oh, but you killed this person. It's like, but I made a real effort not to do that. Anyway.
Yeah. But it's still a fascinating game, and it's, I mean, we're talking about Pilfs and Geralt being a Pilf, and he definitely is, but you know, if you look at the game context and you see him as a character being a mutant, he is sterile, I believe. And
That was what did it for me.
Yes. Well, we see because he's sterile and he's immune to any diseases. So he can neither catch nor, give to other people STDs. So in all intents and purposes, for his time, he is the ultimate F buddy, really, for those women there, because they can't get pregnant from him and they can't catch any diseases.
And that's totally what he is throughout the entire game. He's just
pretty much
total F buddy for every single woman in the game. So, Joe, give us another one on your list.
Okay, well, this is going back in time a ways, but because I couldn't come up with 5 from this year, but my first real video game crush was Meryl Silverberg in Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 1. And that was the first game that I remember playing where I felt a real connection to the characters. There was real voice acting and cinematics and what really hooked me was the fact that about halfway through the game, you're put in like a torture chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you two ever played the game, but Snake is captured, and you have to make it through this torture session where it's basically this like a button mashing thing where if you mash your buttons long enough, Snake will get through the torture and survive. And if you don't do it, if you can't smash your buttons fast enough to get your adrenaline up and to withstand the pain, then Snake gets knocked out. And the result of that is that Meryl dies. You don't even actually see it, but at the end of the game, you realize that you couldn't save her.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. And, Well, it really, really like affected me. Like, it really, like, if I don't get through this, Meryl's gonna die. And I remember in my bedroom as a, you know, 15-year-old or whoever old I was, just smashing these buns as hard as I could because I gotta save her. I gotta save Meryl. And I never felt that way before. I never felt that connection. And of course, it helped that she was this redhead, you know, like military chick, and
you love was... redheads.
Oh, well, of course.
And military chicks.
Yeah, and you know, and she could hold her own with Snake, and she was very like also the kind of like innocent kind of thing, and it's very similar to Liara, kind of like withdrawn, but also could also kick ass, and as I still have a lot of vivid memories. Of being really attached to her, and there's at the end of the game, you drive out of the base there in the Arctic on a snowmobile, and I felt like such just like the sense of like relief, feeling like, oh, they're going to run off and live happily ever after. Of course, they don't, and you know, everyone knows the crazy twists and turns of the Metal Gear storyline after that.
I can't understand a Metal Gear storyline to save my life.
I gave up trying long ago. I mean, a friend of mine online swears that it all makes sense, but for that one experience for Metal Gear Solid, Meryl Silverberg was definitely my very first and still probably one of my strongest pilfs for sure.
Pilf. I love that. Tash, give us another one.
Okay, well, let's do another one that I'm going to assume that we're both going to share.
God,
and that is, of course...
This is
why we get along so well. Because we agree with our pilfs. Sister pilfs. But, yes, pilf sisters. Of course, I'm talking about lovely, sexy, hot, sarcastic Nathan Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Can I be included in this, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. Yes, because you just started playing the Uncharted series.
Oh, my God.
Right? He's so dreamy.
He really is.
Which they totally changed the color of his eyes for the third game, which I did not like at all. Which is, maybe I'm alone in this.
Well, spoiler. Thanks a lot, Jen. Jeez.
I know, I'm sorry. I just totally ruined the entire storyline for you for the third game.
That plot twist that's related to the color of his eyes changing is now totally ruined.
again, it's also the voice and the character and the whole rounded package, so to speak. It's like
he does have a nice package.
He has a great delivery of that. He has a great delivery of all of his lines, and he's just like he's funny, and he's like the scruffy American Eagle model or something.
But he's also so very intelligent, you know, and you play through video games and you get the brawny guys, you get the strong guys, you get the courageous guys and the guys who are there who, you know, put themselves in front of the women to save them, put themselves in front of the men to save them. But you don't often get that intelligence. And, you know, throughout the Uncharted games, Nathan relies just as much on his intelligence as he does on, you know, being incredibly dexterous.
I mean, but he's basically Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Basically,
and because this is something we talked about in the last podcast, that Uncharted being a series that is pretty much Indiana Jones written by Joss Whedon.
Yes, except it's not written by Joss Whedon.
It's not written by Joss Whedon. It is written, yes.
But it is
still...
very similar in its humor, I think.
Very similar.
It's fantastic. And it's written fantastically well. And Nathan's a hottie. He's definitely on our pulp list.
Well, yes. The one cool thing that I like about Nathan is that he's not like what Tosh said. Like he's not like the typical muscle, you know, like muscle bound guy of so many games. He's not even that big. He's kind of like a little guy, and you always get the sense that whenever he's in a situation, like he's always over his head. Like you always think that there's no way he can get out of this because he's outgunned, he's outmuscled, but you know he always does somehow. You know, like he's always this dashing, you know, hero that he manages to find a way to either escape or to, you know, to triumph. Because there's just one scene in Uncharted 2 where he has this this fight on the train with this like huge muscly guy, and
yeah, that was a tough fight.
and it's a really tough fight, but like you realize that he's not even that big of a dude, you know, like he's kind of like outmatched a lot, and I really like that kind of that underdog sense that you get when you play as him.
He's wearing a Henley shirt. Like, you can't be that badass in a Henley shirt.
That's true.
And a pair of jeans.
And like, even his animations, like, they toned it down in the second game, but in the first game, his animations with the way he held his gun and the way like he reloaded, it's all kind of frantic. Like he's always like. Like, oh my god, I'm gonna die! Like, I gotta whip my, you know, the pistol out and cover against this rock and to make sure I don't get a bullet in the head.
He's not a practiced military.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm trying
Marcus
to say.
Marcus Fenix.
Yeah.
Marcus Fenix was not on my list.
Yes, you know, not on mine either. Sorry, Marcus.
Sorry, Marcus.
Marcus is on everyone's list. Because Marcus says so.
I mean, I think I'm gonna get into the ladies of my list now, because I decided that my list of five or whatever was gonna be an equal opportunity list. And since we mentioned Geralt, obviously the other half of that power couple is Triss Marigold.
So you're not gonna talk about Shani?
Oh my god, I would stab her in the face. Like. I don't understand how anyone can play that first game and not hate Shani. Like, she's fine. She's fine for a long time until you start, like, I don't know, not paying attention to her or something, and then she turns into, like, this crazy shrew, and you're like...
She turns into mean girl.
I'm like, I can see that going well if we stayed together. No thanks.
Like, but I think... I think the best part of that whole Shan Geralt thing is that, you know, if you have the continuity in the PC version, so you play The Witcher and then you play The Witcher 2. If you choose Shani and The Witcher, and then you're all excited about, ooh, Witcher 2 is going to set up, she doesn't even exist.
No.
It's like they've said, you chose wrong, I'm sorry. But
here's
Triss.
It's like they were like, ooh, we made a mistake. We did a bad thing. She was just...
She's not even in there. Just like, yeah, you guys, you chose the wrong girl. I'm really sorry about that. Here's the one that you should have chosen.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't they just do that anyway? But yeah, mm-hmm. Triss is she's one of those ones that is one of those women that is really powerful and really sexy and really smart and just very strong and commands the respect of everyone around her. I love The Witcher 2 for women in general, just because, like, there are a lot of badass ladies in these games. And Triss is definitely one of them. And she's, you know, everybody talks about how, like, sexual she is and stuff, which she is, but it's not the main part of her character. It is a big part, but it's not, I don't know how to explain it. Like, CD Projekt has a really great way of not oversexing their characters, and people are like, when I say that, they're like, no, you're crazy, like, she's naked the whole time. It's like, no, but like, it's just, it's not a sexy game. It is a sexy game, but it's not about that. Whereas, like, I don't know, I'm not even explaining it right, but it's not like an oversexed game, even with all the sex.
Yes. It's not played up.
It's a really mature game.
It's very mature, and actually, this is going to make us sound even worse, or make me sound even worse, but the sex scenes in The Witcher 2 are some of the best shown sex scenes that I've seen in video games.
I totally agree. I was wondering when they were going to just do that, because in the first game, they're like, he's banging all these people.
And you get a collectible card.
You get a collectible card, but like, and then when I heard they were just doing it in Witcher 2, I was like, that sounds about right. Like, let's be honest, everybody wants.
But
to
it was
see
very
it.
Good, actually. It was excellent, because the first game, you know, it was just collectible cards. Really, that was the extent of the romance. But in the second game, you do actually have this romance that progresses with Triss. And it's much more mature, and I mean, it fits the maturity of the game, because I think The Witcher 2 as a game is much more mature than The Witcher.
I think so too. And then, of course, you know, both Geralt and Triss, by the way, have all kinds of little side pieces. So that's kind of cool too. Like, they clearly have this like open relationship. They're like, we're totally in love, but we get it. I'm gonna be over here for like 3 days. You can't expect me to not have sex with someone, you know?
The milkmaid.
Right. Oh man.
But yes, Triss, definitely on the list.
Yes. Joe, give us another one. I'm just barking it out now.
let me make a point here, going back to the sex scenes in Witcher 2. I mean, they're great and all, but I mean, I didn't see any pink mist. I didn't see any laser beams. You know,
you're
no
spoiled
biotic,
forever.
No biotic glow, you know, no eyes turning black and nothing. So, I mean, I just want to get that out there. I just want to, you know. Anyway, let's see. Going back to Uncharted, I'm going to go with Elena Fisher.
Nice choice.
Not Chloe. As tempting as it may be, I think Elena is one of the coolest characters, male or female, that I've ever met in a video game. I love that she's not a warrior. You know, she's not like some kind of damsel in distress. You know, she's a journalist. She's out there like on her own, doing her own thing. She's completely, you know, like. She doesn't need, you know, Nate Drake, even though, you know, of course, you know, she does end up, you know, requiring rescue, you know, on a few occasions, but she's completely her own person. And, I found that very, refreshing, especially in the second game where she doesn't show up for so long. I was starting to think, oh my God, did they not bring Elena back? You know, and then for them to just kind of run into each other. The way that they do.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was. Well, I mean, I knew she was going to be, but if I hadn't known she was going to be in the second game, I would have been like through most of the game. Where's Elena?
Yeah, it was the way that she's introduced is just in the second game is just so wonderful. Because she, you know, she holds her, she's Drake's equal. Except she's also like his opposite. You know, like they're compatible and incompatible. It's very hard to explain, but I love that she can hold her own with him, and yet, you know, she's not. You know, she's not him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, I get it. Like they could kind of be similar people, but they're very opposite. As well, I know it doesn't. It only makes sense if you've played the game and have seen them together.
And there's this great scene, like partway through Uncharted 2, where they're trying to get on this train, and they're in this train yard, and Nate, kind of like they're hunched over, and Nate says, "Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go over here, and you're gonna do this, and you're gonna do that." And within like 10 seconds, Elena already knows where Nate's plan is going. She starts, so we're going to do that, and then we're going to do that, and by the time...
Like, you're already going, okay.
By the time the conversation is over, Elena has turned it into her plan, and Nate kind of, like, gives her this look at the end, like it was kind of, like, amazement, and kind of, like, he was kind of hurt, like, he was, like, because, like, she's now,
he's
like...
a little butthurt about it.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention the fact that she's just, I mean, gorgeous. I mean, and in the very un-video game kind of way, you know, she's very...
Yeah, absolutely. She's wearing little button-down shirts and has her hair in a ponytail the whole time.
And she's just such a unique presence, I think, for video games, especially for, like, to be love interest, you know, it's probably the most, like... I think she can exist in the real world. You know, like this. She feels real.
Yeah, I think all of the characters from that game are really, like...
Yeah. And it's just... It helps, obviously, because the way that she's put into the game, you know, like, through motion capture and, like, you know, how the actors kind of, you know, how we were talking about before, how the actors kind of don't do voiceovers. They actually, like, perform the scenes.
Yeah.
So she feels, you know, she has that whole... There's a whole other layer to her presentation than you know, animators doing something separately and then voice actors coming in and separately and merging them together. It's all done like all at once, and she's just and might I add, there's a startling resemblance to our dear leader Tash.
Wow, I hope they
just for the
make
record.
Things awkward between the two of you now.
Not at all. I just, you know, I'm just going to call her Elena from now on.
Yes.
If that's okay.
Awesome.
Okay. And if maybe once or twice, Tash, if you could, like, kind of, like, dangle yourself off a bridge and I can, like, help you. That's probably not a good idea because I don't have
very good
upper body
strength.
That is the
weirdest fetish that I've ever heard. Tash, you got a couple of, you got one more or two more on your list of five?
I have two more, but I can go through them very quickly. Because one of them, I don't actually know their name, but they made such an impact on me that I thought, no, you're quite attractive, I'm going to put you on my pilf list.
Interesting.
But, yes, and actually I'll talk about them, because that is the main character from a video game from Sega called Binary Domain.
Oh yeah, you reviewed that.
Yes,
yeah.
It was quite a good game, actually. You know, I didn't get much traction, but quite enjoyable. And it had squad mates, and there was even a little bit of a romance in there. But the guy that is the person that you play in that game, from Binary Domain, bit of a hottie, and I quite like him. He's kind of like John Shepard, but not as bulky.
Not as bulky.
Yeah. So he's on my list. But nobody else will probably know of him because I don't think too many
people
played him.
Well, no, I know him. I know the kind of the face. Like, I see it blurry in my mind because I haven't played that game. But I saw your review of it, and we've talked about the game a bit before.
Yes.
But, yeah, good choice. Nice little obscure
yes.
guy. I'm sure he has a name, but you don't know.
Yeah, he has a name, but, you know, I'm really... You can see the focus of my interest in him.
This goes back to our earlier statement. They just have to be attractive, basically.
And make an impact on you, really.
Yeah.
But I do know the name of my other one, and I'll put him in too because it's a quick one. And that is Chris Redfield from the Resident Evil series.
Yes.
Now, Chris got a lot of flack when Resident Evil 5 was released because people used to call him Cantaloupe Arms because he had massive... muscles on his arms, and it looked like he was trying to smuggle cantaloupes in. But they changed his bulk slightly for Resident Evil 6, but he's still just as attractive as he was, and he's on my list. Because really, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I would most definitely be completely happy with putting my life in his hands. And, you know,
and other
parts
things.
Of my anatomy. Yes, but Chris Redfield on the list.
Oh, man. okay. Well, Chris Redfield, ladies and gentlemen. I did not play a whole lot of the Resident Evil games, but I do agree that Chris is definitely a bit of a hottie. I was very sad when they chose Wentworth Miller to play him in the movies, because it's like, I don't know why anybody has ever allowed him to do anything ever.
No. I saw that and I thought, did you people actually play the video game? Because this is not Chris Redfield.
So
no.
bad. Like, oh, he's a terrible, terrible actor. But
was
that's
Ryan
totally
Reynolds
beside the
not
point.
Doing something. Yeah. But yeah. Chris Redfield.
I have one more on my list. And it is the lovely Ashley Williams from Mass Effect.
Really, Jen?
Yeah, I know. That's a huge surprise. Shocker. Yeah, no. I think I like her most of all is because she's such a polarizing character in this world. Like, people love her or they hate her, and they're like, yeah, she's so flawed. And I'm like, I know. Like bitch has got
That's
some problems. Camp. Like, she's definitely got, like, issues that she, you know, you know, but she's also very smart. And I love how people are like, oh, but she's, you know, she's so cynical, and she keeps saying, like, the council is going to throw them under the bus. And, well, hey, guess what? The council throws everybody under the bus.
But actually, Jen.
Yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of her, the look that she had in the first game, as well as the look she had in the third game. Although there is that sense of like, all right, well, we sexed her up a little bit, and that's fine. That BioWare writes really great female characters, but I'm curious to know how many women are on their design team, because it's they write amazing characters, and then they're like, you see these characters, and you're like, what is she wearing? What is that? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Samara.
It's an armor
up.
Skirt.
Zip it up, girl.
But then having said that, that seems to be just some sort of design thing, because if you play, I mean, I'm playing through Arkham City, Batman Arkham City, and Catwoman has also got the issue of requiring a bit of a zip up there.
But that's also Catwoman. Like, Catwoman's entire purpose is that, she very much uses her sexuality a lot to get what she wants. She's a cat burglar, and she wears a lot of tight leather, you know, like Ashley's a Marine. And while I don't dislike her look in 3, and also I'm very happy that her hair was down.
Because it's now no longer Miranda who's the only one who has a hair down.
Yeah. Like, why couldn't they do that for Ashley? While I don't dislike it, I do think that it's like, I am glad that they didn't give her like heeled boots though. That was nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Like she was still a Marine, which I liked. Which is one of the things I really liked about her. She's subtle as a boot to the face, which is a line that she has in the game, and I think that's the main thing I like about her. Like, I want to go out and have beers with Ashley, and then maybe have
to start with. And then, you know, things progress, hey, and it's just what happens.
Totally. Joe, do you have another one on your list, or do we get through this?
I'm going to pick one more from my game of the year, Halo 4. And as much as I want to go with Cortana...
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to say.
I think that's like, that's one notch on the creepy scale too much for me. I'm not willing to take that leap. I mean,
shows where we went with that. We're like, I totally thought you were gonna say.
I mean, at least not, you know, something that can be recorded and used against me later.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, in the privacy of a conversation, you know, I might, you know, take it to a creepy level, but I mean, I am going to pick someone else from that game, and that's Sarah Palmer. She's a character that kind of comes in halfway through the game. She's a Spartan on the UNSC Infinity, and she has a very small role, but she's, I think they're building her up to be something more in the in future games. So she's kind of like a pilf of the future, maybe, you know, because we don't really know much about her.
Which we're just going to put her on the pilf shelf and take her down when it's time, which that sounded really creepy.
She has a lot of things going for her. One, she's redhead, which is good. Mm. Two, she's voiced by the same person who does the voice of one Commander Shepard. And,
oh.
Yep, so that's, she has that going
for
her.
Little Jennifer Hale action. How can you not love anyone voiced by Jennifer Hale?
Yeah, indeed. And so she has that going for her. And she's kind of like, you know, a tough, you know, Marine kind of person. And she walks around in, you know, this freaking Spartan armor. But, you know, I've caught myself wondering, I wonder what she looks like under that armor.
Well, let's peel it off.
And I think, is there something between her and the chief? Maybe she kind of looked at him and kind of said, oh, I thought you'd be taller. But kind of, was there a little bit of flirting there? I don't know. But
maybe.
I think, hopefully, if I'm sensing where the writers are going, I think there's more there. I think they're going to bring her back. And They have her in Spartanovs, where basically she's just kind of, barking orders at you. She can bark orders at me anytime.
Awesome.
Yo.
Okay, I think we'll probably have to start wrapping it up here, but I want to hear one honorable mention that can be from any time period whatsoever, that it just, like, would pop into your head. Tash?
The guy from Red Dead Redemption.
John Marston?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I totally would think that, too, if I didn't think that his pants were, like, crunchy.
Then wouldn't Geralt be, like, as well?
Maybe, but I've seen Geralt bathe.
Yeah. True. I might have to retract that and have to think about it while you two talk about
Europe. if you were in the Old West and, like, you wouldn't...
Actually, no, I'm going to scratch that. No, he's off. And I'm actually going to go with... no, off. I'm going to go with... this is also going to sound a bit creepy, but I'm going to go with Ratz's Commander Shepard, Annika.
Nice one. Good one. Yeah, she's really pretty, you guys. I know.
She's a hottie.
Yeah, and she's redhead. So, mm-hmm. So again, there's something that Joe likes. Joe, is that also your honorable mention?
Were you going to do yourself, Joe?
Oh no, I think we might have lost Joe again. And you're Hello? Back.
Yay!
We lost Joe again for just a second, but he's back.
I swear.
Now, thank God, because I was asking you if you would wanted to have sex with your shepherd.
Boy, that takes it to a whole Freudian level, doesn't it?
It sure does.
But we picked our shepherd.
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, you didn't design her, though. You know, like, I, like...
Like, you lovingly created her.
Yeah. it's weird. I'm not attracted to my shepherd. As attractive as she is, I don't want to have sex with her.
That's okay, because Jen and I do.
Yeah.
High five.
Well, that works, too, because she likes ladies. So.
But, she is very important to me, and I'm very proud of her, so I'm glad that she has, a couple fans out there.
Woohoo! Yes, for sure.
But if I'm going to pick... an honorable mention, I would have to go with I'm trying to remember her name, but
describe her.
Well, it was a game. It was a game on the GameCube called PN03.
Oh, I don't know.
And it was
this.
Basically it was a futuristic, like, shooting like a third person shooter game, and you play as this I think her name was Vanessa. I want to say, you play as this character. She. I remember her being like very. The whole thing is rhythm based, so it's a shooter. Yet you also kind of like dance part of it, and it's third person. And I have this very vivid memory of just watching her backside go up and down and up and down and up and down to the rhythm of this game. Because, like, when she's not shooting, she's tapping her foot to the rhythm. So, like, half the game is just kind of standing there going, it's...
Joe, you want to come down from dinner? No.
Give me a minute, Mom! it's a very, it wasn't a very popular game, I guess. It didn't, there weren't any sequels or anything as far as I know, but, I want to say her name was Vanessa, and she was the, she was the star of that game, and I had lots of fun.
Nice. That's another nice obscure reference from Joe.
And it is,
you're like,
actually.
You're like the hipster pilf.
Yes, and I will, like, because you see, I Googled during that conversation, and you are correct. Vanessa Z. Schneider.
Ah, see, all right. And, yeah, so maybe
Thank
she's
you,
on
Google.
YouTube or something. You can look her up and watch her little dance moves.
Watch her little bum.
It's as much as I can remember that it was a pretty fun game. It had the Mass Effect 1 disease of the same corridors used over and over and over and over and over. But other than that, it was pretty cool.
Cool. My honorable mention is Zevran. from Dragon Age Origins. From Origins, not from Dragon Age 2, because they ruined him. I don't know what that was. In the first one, he was so hot, and he was, like, so much fun. I mean, like, Pirate Zevran, prepare to be boarded? I mean, that's hilarious. I love this guy. He's, like, so much fun. And so, yeah, he was my dude. For Alistair's great, whatever. But Zevran was my guy in Dragon Age Origins. And then turned him into some sort of little Dobby elf in the second game. And I was, like, I'm not over it, clearly.
BioWare has hurt us all in different ways.
We all why are you toying with my emotions? He's like, what is that? He showed up, and I went, oh.
No. He went, no.
Oh, no. Nope. Okay, guys. Well, I think we have sufficiently embarrassed ourselves talking about animated characters that we would like to have sexual intercourse with. And I don't regret it, and I want everybody to hear this and listen to this. So if you are listening to this, just know that I'm not ashamed. So
nope. If you are listening to it,
here.
If you are listening to it and you have somebody that we haven't mentioned, then let us know.
All right. So thanks. Thank you for listening to episode 4, and we will see you next week.